Hey guys, welcome back to
Wine and Whispers.
It's season 3, y'all.
Season 3.
Get it.
Okay. I love when we do that.
By pure accident, almost all the time.
Every time.
It's not scripted. If y'all thought this was scripted, little did you know.
You know what I think we should do?
Have a teleprompter? Okay.
That's not where I was going.
What should we do?
I was going to say I should have my daughter or one of the kids that are responsible enough to just record us on an off day when people don't realize that, like, we really are just...
You mean when we just sitting down in a lobby somewhere?
And awkwardly vibing. Yeah.
Did you say awkwardly?
Yeah, I say awkwardly because I don't think people realize, like, how we just naturally awkwardly happen.
But why is it?
But not in a bad way. I don't mean like a bad awkward.
Like, why is it gotta be awkward?
I don't mean it in a negative. I'm sorry if you feel offended that I said awkward.
Because awkward has a negative connotation to it.
I think it is what it is, but I can see where you say that.
Okay. Because it's not awkward.
Yeah.
I think it's just lovely.
Yeah, like I think what's her name? Issa Rae has made it okay to say awkward. Like, because remember, she started off as a YouTube mini skit doing the awkwardly black girl. But it was really funny and cute.
I want you to know that I did not know that information.
Yeah. And that's what Insecure is slightly based off of.
Because, like, I know her from Insecure.
Yeah.
Talking in the mirror, hyping herself up.
But that started with the awkwardly black girl. If you go back and you type it in, if you have a time, check back. I think it's still up, the awkwardly black girl. And that's when I first was introduced to Issa Rae. So when I saw that she was doing Insecure, I was like, oh. But I thought Insecure was just the new name for it.
Oh.
What she did is she took the basis of that
to make a show.
To make the show.
Good for Issa Rae for making money off of YouTube. Mm-hmm.
And she is now currently displayed twice. Not displayed. She's featured
honored
twice on Teyana Taylor's new album. And it's a good album, guys. But don't play it around kids because it's a lot of adult language.
Okay. I'm going to go listen to it.
Amazing.
I need to finish listening to my audiobook first, but then I will listen to it.
It's the Teyana we've been missing. I'm glad she came back.
You know I love me some Teyana.
Yeah.
She's so pretty.
She definitely... You know, there's always that one good heartbreak album that we need to hear.
Is this it?
Yep.
Ooh, I love the good heartbreak album.
So, speaking of that, let's
uncork and unwind. What are we talking about?
See how I did that there?
I know, I appreciate you.
All right, so, during our mini break, you know, I had a little bit of time to myself, and obviously... What do we do now when we have time to ourselves? We sit and we just troll Instagram or TikTok or whatever have you. Oop, let me move in the mic. And I came across this. I'm going to put it up here, but I'm going to put the audio for you guys to hear.
Cannot find why so many beautiful, well-rounded women cannot find a partner is because a lot of parents failed their sons. My mom on a walk had asked me, we know so many beautiful, well-rounded girls, why are they single? I responded with, your generation was so hard on the girls. Like, we literally had to be made out of glass. We couldn't afford to make mistakes. Failure was not in our vocabulary. Like, we literally had to be perfect. So now you have this large group of women that are almost like overperforming. So now you have this large group of women who know how to take care of a home, know how to take care of themselves, are family oriented, but they also have the ambition of a man and are career focused. Overall, they are performing at standards and expectations that are so high because back home, specifically, my parents are from India. Back home, women weren't granted the same privileges and rights back home in India. So my mom still had me performing the gender norms of a good Indian daughter, but I was encouraged to basically utilize the freedom that I had. Parents failed their sons. Because while so much pressure is being put on women, nothing was put on their boys. They were and are still coddled. They're not independent, meaning that they're codependent on their parents for multiple things. Also have no sense of leadership. They're consistently relying on a system for guidance and direction instead of building like that inner voice and trying to take initiative to build their life. That's why women are single. Because not only did we have to fight for the life that we wanted, it was completely possible to do that. Though it was hard, it was possible. But there are men that don't want to utilize this opportunity to better themselves and like have dreams and have goals. Instead, they're looking for a partner to be a replacement for their mom.
The way that she just ended that shit, a replacement for their mom.
Let Damn. That sink in for a second. And I can relate to that wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly.
Damn.
So this young lady, I want to give her credit where credit's due. Her of name course. Is Chan Bangal. Bangal, right? She's there's an H after the B, so I want to see if I'm pronouncing it properly. Bangal, right? Mm-hmm. Bangal. How do you guys? Well, clearly you're saying damn. Clearly it struck a nerve with me. But I think there is a discussion to be had here, and the reason why I say there's a discussion to be had here, I think there is a large majority of truth in what she's saying. Is this every single man that you're going to come across? Absolutely not. Is this every single female you're going to come across?
No.
Absolutely not. However.
I felt that, however.
Yes. I can see it. I can see it. And the reason why I can see it is, again, I have not been shy to disclose that my husband and I, we were working through our challenges. And as any relationship has challenges. And I had an epiphany in one of our sessions, and I was like, holy shit, I can see why he gravitated to me. I see me in his mom. And not in like a weird, freakish way, but the tendencies of who I am, the characteristics and the traits of who I am, I can see reflected and why he gravitated. It felt, remember we were talking about this in our recap, that kids go to
They feel comfortable, they act their true selves.
And similarly, although I had a stepdad, he was my dad. But what traits I was gravitated to my husband was not because of my stepdad, but more so on the fact of my mother and my sister. I feel the traits that I had gravitated to him, and I see the traits that he gravitated to me. So, with that said, I understand when she says they're looking for a replacement of their mom. That hit a chord real deep. Because even speaking to his mother when she was alive, and she rests in peace, she was like, their father never did that. You're lucky that they're doing that. I don't know if he knows that. But speaking to myself and the brother's wife, she was like, yeah, he never did that. You're lucky they're doing that now.
The fuck?
So it's like, okay, so if you saw that the father was not doing this, and no shade to Mr. Joe, because I love him dearly too, then you as the mom, where was the upbringing? No, but where was the space to have the conversation to say, hey, this is how you should be with your life partner?
Okay, so I'm going to flip the script real quick. So now we have these men who are grown-ass men. Chasing the ideal woman, which is their mother.
Yes.
In some shape, form, or whatever. So now the expectation of this marriage is that you married your mom. So the idea that, well, they're clean up after me. They'll do the dishes, the laundry. They can cook, have a home-cooked meal for me. They can make my doctor appointments for me. Oh.
They can find this for me. They can find that for me. They can assist me in this. And I feel like an administrator sometimes. I don't know if you have.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's annoying. Okay, my point to all of this, though, is I, of course, was trolling on Instagram as well.
Okay.
And I came across Deval Ellis. He posted something the other day, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever, about how he has to raise four whole ass men.
Yeah.
And he made it a point to say that he's raising four men. Mm-hmm. That these boys are turning into men.
Okay.
And he wants to create the men that he would want for his wife. The men that a woman in the future will deserve. Not someone looking for a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who will be able to be active within the relationship to realize that I don't need them to cook my meal for me. I can cook a meal for her.
And that's breaking generational cycles.
Absolutely.
Because culturally, and I'm going to speak on behalf of my Haitian people. What's up, Zoes? We already, do y'all need me to finish the sentence?
No. I'm not even Haitian. I don't need you to finish
the sentence. Do y'all
need
me to finish the sentence? The girl is taught to be raised, and I'm going to say it in my native tongue.
Okay.
Bon.
Which, you're funny.
Which translates to mate.
Mm-hmm.
They are raised to be the maid.
Absolutely.
Whereas the son is the mom's pride and joy.
Well, that's just annoying.
And he's a tipushan, and he does not have to do anything.
Mm-mm. He gets fed hand and foot.
Right.
The prince of the house.
So I wonder, and clearly I can say it's cultural because clearly she said she's Indian, but she's mm-hmm. Indian, grew up in Canada,
okay.
As she mentions in the video. I'm even American born here, Haitian
it's
descent.
Still a thing.
Culturally across the board, I want to know where I'm eager to know where did this stem from? The idea that the men are on pedestals versus the women.
Well, I mean, think about it, right? So back in the day, women couldn't work. So you were home. As a woman, you were home.
But you were still managing things.
You were managing the house. But that's the thing. You were managing the house. So as a man, you were raised and taught that you had to leave your home and you had to bring money into the house, and that was your responsibility. Outside of that, you had no other responsibility. And then as a woman, you were raised to learn how to sew, how to cook. We took home ec. I didn't, but we
I
took
did.
Home ec in class. Guess what the men got to do? Wood glass.
I think that's, but that's the thing. That's how many generations ago to still have this idea that this needs to be practiced or embedded or ingrained into the fabric of how we're supposed to be day to day currently. Like the roles and the shifts, everything has changed.
Girl, we were just talking about this. The average for a single person to live in New Jersey, you have to make $103,000. I can't make that as a single person.
No.
Starting off. I can.
Right.
Because I claim it. I am going to be making six fucking figures in the next year.
Right. Straight. I mean, they make you work towards that. You got to, like, a man can get closer to it than a woman can starting off as an entry level.
Right. So then the idea of how a house is now run is not the way a house ran back in the day.
Absolutely not.
But it's been ingrained in those boomers who raised these now, I guess they're what, millennials? Did boomers raise millennials?
Yes, boomers raised millennials, and Gen X raised Gen Z.
Okay, so now the boomers raised the millennials, and the millennials came into the mindset that the man leaves the house and the woman. So that's where we are currently, right? We're that generation of millennials where we were raised by boomers, and we're trying to break the curse
Absolutely.
Of how we were raised, because we're not trying to raise our sons to look for a mother. Which is what we're currently experiencing in the dating pool, if you're dating in our age-ish. So then you're experiencing that idea that a man is looking for their mom. And now we are having children. No. Mm-hmm. What'd you just say? Gen Xers are raising Gen Zers?
Mm-hmm.
Gen Xers now, they're still in the idea and that mindset of looking for, because of how they were raised with their parents.
Right. They were tougher.
So they're still building these tough kids, but it's still not the same. You're still not raising the men the right way still. In that
right.
sense.
Because the idea is they told us go to school, get your education,
right.
Go to work. But then what they didn't
and
tell us was by being able to do so, now that you have the freedom to do so, you still have to manage the who's going to manage the house.
Because we both have to work now.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's your...
That's a woman's job.
Right. Traditional roles, that's a woman's job. You still got to cook. Oh, look at me. I'm still getting used to it, guys. You still got
to... I'm done.
You still got to cook. Gotta clean. You gotta tend to the children. You gotta manage the household things, make book appointments and all this other stuff. Granted, again, I'm gonna put this disclaimer because the people will be trolling. I had people come. They didn't come for me directly, but they came for us rather.
Who coming for us?
We know not every person is experiencing what we're saying. We're talking about more of a general consensus of what is currently partaking. If you have not been healed or you're not trying to break those general curses, obviously this is not applicable to you. Yes, I had to do that little disclaimer. But I need you to know that this is what's currently...
Who the fuck is coming to you with this information?
I have people coming for us like, you know...
But this is an opinion-based show.
Exactly. That's why we get to give our opinions. But I guess people need to hear and know. It's okay to have you. It's okay to agree to disagree.
Keep going.
I need you not to be the little feisty chihuahua at the moment.
That's why I'm making my business.
Okay.
I said, keep going.
So, yes.
Why gotta be a chihuahua?
If you are not at the point where...
Come back. Why it has to be a chihuahua? Why can't I be a pit bull? Why can't I be a boxer?
Because you're cute and petite.
Okay, Pomeranian. Pomeranians are aggressive too.
They're adorable.
I know. I've had Pomeranians. They're very aggressive too.
They're
cute but aggressive.
They are. I like them though. Or a Pomsky. I'm a Pomsky.
Pomeranian husky.
I know.
Pomskys are not like that.
Whatever it means. Go ahead.
They do more zoomies than anything.
I can have zoomies.
That's not a zoom.
You just keep going.
I'm going to defend my loyal person.
I'm a Rottweiler. A Rottweiler defends their home.
Anywho.
Yes, Denise.
Breaking those generational cycles. But there's a large majority, or I shouldn't say a large majority, because I'm not giving you statistics, but there is a
group of people,
a percentage,
that is still
an unknown percentage that is clearly still feeling the repercussions of the gender roles that is expected upon us. Whether you're a Gen Z who is closer to the millennial or millennials or Gen Zs, I think Gen Zs get a bad rep, right? For just being very aloof and not caring, but only I mentality. But I can understand why they are not wrong for that. In the sense where I would love to have somebody, but I don't want to feel like I gotta fight to see what your argument is and see what you're bringing to the table. You're either gonna bring something to the table or you're not. No one wants to ever be alone, but if you're not bringing anything to the table, why am I wasting my time?
Does that make sense?
Yes.
What were you looking up?
You know, the fact that you know me, that I was looking up, I was just looking up the stigmas and everything.
Mm-hmm.
See if I can find some data.
Okay. Bring some facts.
I'm not. I was just Googling.
Okay.
I haven't found any facts yet.
Did you hear anything I said?
No.
Okay.
I did. Okay. So,
but now I got
to time to process it.
I was processing as I was reading.
Okay.
But then you got me on my roll of what I was saying. So, the stigma of being at home and the stigma of what women should be in the household, and we haven't broken that stigma yet. Just of what you were saying? Okay, no, tell me what you were saying.
I said I can completely understand the mindset of Gen Z.
Where, Gen Z is after millennial.
Yes. Where they feel like, of course I don't want to be alone, in meaning like I want partnership
with somebody,
but if I don't feel like someone is bringing something of worth to the table, then why should I settle?
So I have a question. We don't have the answers. We don't have statistics, right?
But I have a question I thought of your idea about this.
Okay.
So Gen Z definitely does have that idea. Why am I going to be settling myself with somebody who can't match me at my level?
Right. And I think that's part of the trauma that they've witnessed.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Being a kid, seeing that your mom is always home, hustling and grinding, and your dad was drinking a beer on the couch.
Or there was an absent dad, or an absent mother, or whatever, absent parents.
Vice versa, right? Mm-hmm. Someone's absent, and someone's giving 125%. Okay, so my question now revolves around the idea of, as a millennial, who has become healed-ish.
Very healed-ish.
Very healed-ish. Are we not looking for the same thing now? And on top of the fact that I'm healed-ish and now looking for something similar, is it now that I'm struggling because I am healed-ish as a millennial, but the other side of millennials aren't healed yet because they don't want to do it? Am I not finding a partner because I don't want to look younger into a Gen Z? Because I feel like Gen Zs haven't matured to my level, because I'd be a millennial is what, 30, and the Gen Zers are 20? So as a 30-year-old woman, I'm not looking for a 22-year-old man?
I think there's an intimidation around an independent person. And by independent, I mean someone who realizes that they can do everything. And so it's like, well, what can I bring to the table if you can do it all by yourself? At the end of the day, let's
comfort.
Right. But it's not, for the person who is independent and can do it, it's simple to say comfort. But for the person who is afraid to match that energy, it's not. They're intimidated by that. Does that make sense?
Then you need to go get healed. Wait, so because I'm very grateful that I'm not dating, because I would fail in this dating
world. Yeah, I would fail in this dating world too, because I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
So you're telling me because I'm able to stand on my own 2 feet, because I can pay my bills, because I don't mind having an opinion and saying my opinion, because I'm not quiet, because I have no problem going to talk to somebody at the bar and say, hey, how are you? That's intimidating.
It is. If you were not raised with the mindset to respect an individual who can do that, like, what's the word?
Let me tell you about Peter Henry. Let's talk about that.
Hold on. We're gonna get to Peter Henry. Hold on. Damn it, maybe lose my thought.
I'm so sorry. Because
it's okay, I do it to you all the time.
You do, and that's okay. Peter Henry had no problem, right?
When you have the confidence, it's different versus the person who has the confidence versus the person who does not have the confidence, right?
Yes.
Like there's, I what was it? I what's the Jill Scott song? I want you, but I can do all these things by myself, but I still need you.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. I'm gonna find it, but yes, not right. Right.
So that's the mindset, but because they see, oh shit, she could do everything, then what the fuck does she need me for?
Comfort. So,
but there are men whose egos that are and their ability to feel like they're a man is calculated or measured rather by what they can do in terms of being a provider. I had to learn how to let go. You know when I realized that I was too independent? When my husband said to me in a session, he's like, how would you know if I could do it? You never give me a chance.
Because you didn't do it.
I never gave him the opportunity, because before I can give him the... Yeah, to an extent.
Okay. Because we can ask them, and then they'd be like, all right, we got it. And then 2 days pass, and ain't shit happened.
Yeah, no. The circumstances that he was giving examples to, I did not give him
the answer. I just want to make sure.
And look, lo and behold, I've given him the opportunity and the rope to do it, and he's doing it.
Okay.
Fine. So, to an extent, I can understand the intimidation that's there.
Let's talk about this.
Okay.
So, I've now pulled up something, because... Okay. I keep saying comfort because I can't comfort my fucking self. I can do a lot of fucking things. I cannot comfort myself.
And when we say comfort, we're not talking about SEX.
No, I'm not. Because I can do that myself, right? Absolutely, I can. So, I'm talking about other things. Like the physical comfort.
Just hold me. Just be there. Be present.
The idea that I want comfort in the sense that I want to come and talk to you about something, get it off my chest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can
hold space.
I can handle it, right?
Yep.
But I want to talk to it. So let's talk about it.
I just Googled.
Thank you, Google.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, while I love our new mics, I can't.
You can't stand them.
I can't. Okay. I have to stay put. Anyway.
I mean, do we need to take donations? Do we need to have a public Amazon wish list?
Yes. Anyway, so 5 basic needs. They can be broadly characterized into this: physiological, safety, social, esteem, self-actualization. So then they broke it down further for me.
Okay.
Physiological are the most basic requirements for survival. And they include food, water, shelter, sleep, and maintaining your health.
Why do I remember? Who's this Locke?
I don't know.
I remember this from psychology for some reason.
Is it a triangle?
It is. I'm pretty sure it is Locke because I remember this too. Anyway, safety, personal security, financial security, health security. First off, I want to point out that even though I am independent, I still go to the fucking doctor for health security because I can't tell you that I'm okay. I'm going to go to social, love, belonging, friendship. Mm-hmm. Esteem goes to self-esteem and respect from others.
Okay.
And then self-actualization is your personal growth, your fulfillment and finding purpose in life, and then your creativity.
I'm going to go back to this social needs one real quick.
Ooh.
The fact that out of the 5 things,
I can do physiological for myself: food, water, safety, sleep, health.
Safety, I can hustle, get my own house, get my own apartment, make my money, do what I need to do, go to the doctor.
Esteem,
it's called esteem for a reason. It's your self-esteem, and you take care of it yourself.
Okay.
Others bigging you up help,
of course.
Absolutely.
But it is called self-esteem. You need to look at yourself, and you need to be healed.
Okay.
Ish.
Self-actualization also says self-actualization. You need to find what drives you to be a better person. You need to find what's going to drive your soul to live and get up every day. That mm-hmm. is on you. No one can find that for you.
True.
Social needs. It literally says it in the title. We need to be social to live.
We
so
do.
Just because I'm independent and I can do these things for myself does not mean that I can live. I will just be an empty shell of a person surviving. I would not be living. So just because I am independent, because I can talk for myself, because I can go and order food at a counter or place an order anywhere by myself, doesn't mean that I don't love it when my husband does it.
Fair enough. I'm not disputing it.
And I shouldn't be looked down on. I shouldn't be looked over. I shouldn't be dismissed because I can't do those things as an independent woman. That shouldn't happen for an independent woman because I can survive.
And this is probably why you need to find your equal match, right? But I think the argument of what this young lady is saying is there aren't enough men who have the cognizance and or the maturity.
It's definitely the maturity.
To recognize that it's a blessing to have an independent woman, but at the end of the day, she still needs you. And not needs you in a sense like she's helpless, but needs you because you belong in the space to make her feel like a woman, to soften her up, to...
I just sent this to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What did I send to you?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what she's saying. She's saying, like, it's not that there's a shortage of men. It's a shortage of men who are mature enough to handle that type of woman. Now, for argument's sake, don't come for me. Can it happen vice versa? Absolutely. Are there girls that are immature that are not there who still feel like they need daddy? Did you see that one? There was one where she was like, if you can't do the things that my dad did, then what do I need you? And that can really, really mess a woman up or really, really mess a man up because that's the level of pressure that, okay, what if you have a dad that gives you bare minimum expectation and then you have a dad that gives you over the extreme expectation?
Absolutely.
What man is going to be able to compete with either of those two things?
No man.
Right? So it depends on what that upbringing, what that relationship is. So yes, to counter that, there can be women who may be intimidated or not prepared enough to know what they're looking for.
And that also could be another level of threat or intimidation for the male. Or female, female, male, male. I'm just speaking in right
your
now.
Experience.
Yeah, exactly. So
I'm having a moment. Can you tell us?
Yeah. I'm trying to get through this, guys. I really am.
You have fog on one side of your glass. Yeah. My nose feels like it's like about to like slide off. My glasses.
I'm like, I hope your nose doesn't slide off.
Sip, sip. Maybe it's the drink that's getting me hot.
You mean your ginger ale? It's ginger ale, guys.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Okay. So, there's also this video. Mm-hmm. We talked about it, too.
Okay.
I want to say it's Ling and Lamb.
Okay.
Lamb and Ling.
Ling and Lamb?
Whatever.
Ling and Lamb. She shows him a video. Okay, yes.
And she says, look at dating now in 2025.
Have you seen what it's like dating men in 2025?
No.
Ah! Bambi! No. What is going on?
Bambi, none of those women know they are not in a relationship. They are all single, but they don't know they are single. In fact, this video you just showed me, this is a typical example of tell me you are single without telling me you are single, because they are all crying for help. They are single and searching. What did I just watch?
Single and searching?
All the women are single and searching. All of them. Every single woman in this video, they are all single and searching, but they don't know they are single.
Did you see the two paddle boarding? I'm so glad I married
you. I'm speechless. Oh, wait, you are glad you married me. You see what is left out there? You see the men that is left out there? You better be respecting me in this relationship. Can you see the men? You see the men that are left there?
The woman's holding the umbrella. I think it was, the woman's holding the umbrella. The man is tucked underneath. The mom is carrying, you know, those cargo trolleys now. And the husband is not, and she's holding a kid at the same time.
The husband's on the phone walking.
And the husband's on the phone walking.
They're on a paddleboard, and the man is hovered in the paddleboard, like crouched in a ball, and the woman's paddling for both of them.
Right, and then there was one which they were, I think it was like a amusement park, and she's holding everything, the kids, the backpack, and the husband is just walking aimlessly. Like, what in the world?
You know that you see it often, though? I saw another video.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Where there was
the mime?
I'm glad you saw it.
The mime.
He's with them.
Yeah,
he stops the woman in
their
tracks
shit
and throws it on the man
and says, "Man up," basically in mime language.
Yeah.
So you don't have a son, right?
I do not. I have a nephew, two. Don't worry about this one. So He's grown. He's got a baby. I'm old now.
Oh, you.
I'm a great old.
Love it. Okay, so you don't have a son, but you are raising two daughters.
I am.
So you set the pattern within your house right now. You set the tone for what your kids look for.
And I tell my husband that all the time.
Does he believe you when you say it?
I don't know. I've never asked.
You should ask him tonight, and then we can put a disclaimer. He responded with X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, because I say that to him all the time. I was like, you know, how you and I interact is an example of what they expect in a relationship to look like.
Absolutely. The way
and neither one of us had that. So, like, although I had it's not the same. The dynamics was different.
Correct. I agree.
And the same thing for him and his parents. The dynamics were different.
Okay.
So it's I was like, we are.
You are it.
We are it. We are the start. The new start.
You are breaking the curse.
The new start.
You are.
The cycle, the curse, yes.
The cycle, whatever. You are, right? So what are some things that you're doing or you're trying to be more cognizant of to make sure that you are setting the tone for them for the future?
One thing that we have tried to do better, and I think we've got it down pat now.
Okay.
We don't argue in front of them.
Don't.
Don't get me wrong. There are some moments of tits.
That's different.
Right? And when I recognize that we're tiffing and tatting, one of us gets silent. And then we'll deal with it later. Right?
Okay.
But for the most part, like an argument,
we'll let the whole day go by.
Mm-hmm.
And then
we'll talk. Or if they, and they try to interrupt us, it's like, give us a second, mommy and daddy are talking.
Okay.
Right? But even in the argument, like, we've learned how to argue whispering. You shouldn't have done that shit.
Right.
Well, you shouldn't have done that shit. Right.
Is that a good drink?
No. That was a Oscar the Grouch of sorts. I don't know. Sorry.
Oh, no, I'm bad at impressions. Go ahead.
But, so, we do that, mm-hmm. right? And that's not something that I've ever witnessed, because my mother, when she argued, they would argue in front of us, and it was like it's traumatic.
It is.
Absolutely. It's traumatic. And I don't think she did it intentionally, so I'm not bashing her, because happens. She knew what she knew and she did what she could, right?
Right.
So that was something we were being very cognizant about.
Okay. I like that.
And then the other thing is the tap-in. I love the tap-in, man. That the tap-in is when the kids are getting reprimanded.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes you are being reactive instead of
proactive.
So when we're in the moment of being reactive and the other one recognizes it, it's a tap in like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to hit your phone. It's a tap in like, all right.
Chill out.
You can go take a deep breather. Let me de-escalate the situation.
Okay.
Yeah. Because sometimes I'll be in the kitchen and all of a sudden I hear, you know,
da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
A back and forth between him and my eldest. And I'm like, what is going on here, guys? And she's like, and then each one wants to plead their case. So I have to remind the adult because, you know, as the adult, sometimes you feel like you're a being attacked by your child or being disrespected by a child, because I feel it too. And you're like, all right. And then I have to be like, what's going on? Like, what is this?
How did we
I have to here? Check in with the kid first, and then I got to tap in with him, like, what just happened?
Okay.
And he'll do it for me too. So those are two things that I don't think either one of us witnessed growing up that we're doing.
So how do you think you know what you're doing? How do you think that affects them for looking for a partner in their future? Like, what does that affect them? Not arguing in front of them, not tapping in front of them. Like, what is that?
I think it shows them, like, it's okay to have someone who supports you.
Okay.
Right? And being in the same accord with somebody. Whatever that accord is. Like, you know, obviously they're going to probably have a different views of how they want to raise their kid. But at least they should look for somebody who's going to have the same values of how it should be done.
Okay.
That's my hope.
Your prayer, your dream, all of it.
Or I just have to say, you know, what didn't I listen? You're not always going to agree, but make sure whatever you do agree, these are some things that you make it a staple for your relationship, especially if you're going to have kids.
So this is definitely prompted, because as we're talking, I'm like remembering videos that I've seen during our hiatus, right?
Okay.
It's definitely a very heavy video. Am I going to find all these videos to post? I don't know, but I'll do my best. There's this video, and it's this boy, and he must be like 13, 14-ish. That's mm-hmm. what it looks like. He's on the ring. He goes, Mama, his name is Cody. Mama, we got to talk about your children. And he's one of the kids, right? We got to talk about your children. And he tells his story how he's taking the trash out. He's being responsible, mm-hmm. taking the trash out. But you know, you buy them cheap bags. We're not going to talk about that.
Not him being disrespectful.
And it busts at the curb. I was going to leave it, but then that's littering. And you know what? I don't want to litter. You taught me better.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So, they're always listening when they act like they're not.
They do. So I'm going to go clean it up. As I'm cleaning it up, I found 4 condom boxes.
No!
I'm guessing these kids are older, okay?
Okay.
We need to talk to your children, because they the cheap kind of condoms. And you know that the cheap kind of condoms be breaking and they not reliable. You got to talk to your children about buying them good condoms so they don't break. Because we don't need any children running around.
So this is the son talking to the mom?
About her kids. His siblings. The mom is laughing over the ring camera. And then she's like, okay, you're right. We don't need no extra children, and we need to make sure that everyone's okay and being safe and all those good things, right? But then this kid goes on to say, and maybe you need to talk to them about how much sex they're having, because 4 condom boxes is a lot.
I'm done.
And it just makes me chuckle, because
while this kid is all up in the business, it's coming from a non-malicious place.
Right.
He's genuinely looking out for his siblings because he's concerned that maybe they're doing something a little bit too much.
And how does he assume it's the siblings, though, and not the parents?
I don't want to talk about that. He did mention something, but the mom said, well, only this one kid's buy the cheap ones. So, okay. Maybe they're just doing it a little bit too much and they need to talk about it because something's going on here. And I want to make sure you practice some safe sex so that we don't have no nephews or nieces running around unexpectedly. And I want to make sure that my siblings are okay.
How old was this kid?
He got to be like 13, 14. Like, he wasn't a big kid. He
So like my daughter's age.
Yeah, 13, 14, 15. Like he was definitely like kid.
Because that sounds very much like her. So in season two, I mentioned that I had to plan the anniversary. And this is piggybacking off of what she says, right? So
kids are the worst.
She tells us when we go, because we did a night away from the kids. And her response to me, mind you, she's 12, going on 13. And anyone outside of our family would be like, that was disrespectful. Why would she say that? But we also have a playful banter that we know when to cut her off. And her response to us when we walked out the door was, don't come back with a third.
The worst.
He and I turned around and looked, and all we could do was shake our head and laugh because, like, it came at the perfect time. Mm-hmm. Now, given any other circumstance, we'd be like, what the heck you just said?
Little girl, go back in that room.
Right. But because
you have the banter.
We have to have a little bit of banter to let them know that, yeah, we can be a little bit fun with you guys, too.
Exactly.
But had I said this to my mother growing up, I would have got smacked across.
You wouldn't have said it growing up.
This is true.
Let's be honest.
This is very true. I would never have said it because I knew I'd get smacked across my face.
You got the tongue would have been whacked out your mouth.
And this is where we come back to the fact that safe setting.
Oh yeah, very much so. Safe setting. Because I wouldn't have said it either. But it just it both those situations, right? Your kid feels comfortable. Cody, that's his name.
Feels comfortable with his mother. Let's talk about condoms.
But look at. That's the kid who's going to grow up and go buy tampons for his partner.
Yep.
I already know that. I can't see the future. Listen, Cody is not an adult, right? But I know for a fact, because of how this mom is raising Cody, Cody's going to have no problem going to get tampons for his partner.
And speaking of that, there's a lot of moms recently, especially in this generation, who have break barriers by saying that the conversation about the menstruation is not just for girls.
No.
Boys and guys and men or wherever, however
they need to have it.
They need to have an understanding of what it is and so that there's a level, and I don't want to say sympathy like it's a pitiful
no,
thing.
No, you can have some sympathy
for me. Sympathy
for me.
Of being able to say, okay, you know what? This is what she's experiencing. Let me see how I can make this moment feel better for her. And these are what a lot of moms are starting to teach their sons. So this way, listen, if you have a partner and this is she's gonna go through it, help her in the process.
Because it's the idea we can't always, we do our best to control our emotions. We do our best to control the hormones and the fatigue and the pain and all of that. But we gon' snap.
Yeah.
And it's not because we're mad at you, really. It's probably just because that all of this fluid is leaving our body. We are hungry.
We're deprived. We're being sucked dry.
We're tired. Mm-hmm. My back hurts. My boob hurts. My brain is on fire. And you just put a little piece of straw on my back and it broke me. Mm. So can you just go get me some chocolate? Thank you so much. Literally. And it's that idea that you need to have those conversations with these men, these boys, these adults, mm-hmm. because they need to understand that it's not coming from a place of malicious, right?
Yeah,
it's coming from a place that we're just tired. Pain. We're in pain, and we're still expected to function at 125%. We need help.
Absolutely.
But I think that what I love about going back to Cody, is the idea that Cody is also going to be a human and a partner who's okay in a sexual setting. Oh, well, babe, I want you to do it this way. And not look at it like he's being masticated.
Right.
That's not the word I want. Emasculated. Thank you.
That's I knew you was coming for it. I was going to say it. She said it before I did.
My brain. So he's not being emasculated. He's instead realizing that it's okay to be safe in that kind of environment where you're going to continue to grow together.
And that's a value to any female that gets a man like that.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't want a one-nighter or a man coming in and it's wham, pam, done. And you don't care about me.
No, don't get me wrong. There's hoeing phase and there is ring phase. Right? Your hoeing phase, you don't care. Ring. I don't need you to be emotionally attached. I don't need you to... I mean, if you do, fine, but that don't mean you want to get extra brownie points to stay around. Then there's a point in life when you're like, okay, your ovaries and your uterus starts talking to you, and you're like, nah, you need to find someone who's going to be your life partner, and maybe you need it to be nicer to him if he gives you, you know, a box of bonbons while you're going through it.
Did you say bonbons?
I did.
What the fuck's a bonbon?
Bonbons?
Bon. I heard bomb. And I was like,
bonbons, the chocolate.
No, yeah, okay, right. But that's how we have to teach them, right? So, if I have a child, I would like the child, which I know I can't control, but I would love to have a boy. But I also...
You look like a boy, Mom.
I will happily go to football games. I will happily yell at a coach. Put me on a sideline. I'll happily bring the pineapples for the team. Listen, I got it. I'll happily hand out condoms when they get older. Like, it's fine. Okay.
You'd be a great boy mom.
I don't got patience.
I was never going to be a boy mom, and I'm glad. But I also have a running joke that when I met Andre, my sister and I, we both looked at him. He was like, he's going to give me nothing but girls. So sad, so done.
Yeah, you got girls. He's a great girl dad.
Yeah. Everyone's like, you're going to have another one? Why? He's going to give me another girl.
He would. I believe it. Happily take a boy. I understand the idea that raising a boy is just as important as raising a girl.
Yeah. And they both come with their trials and tribulations.
I also understand that raising a boy is not just telling them not to go get a girl pregnant.
Oh, absolutely not.
Which is what the stigma was. That's what the conversation was.
Well, it's double-edged because you have... There was a time frame where it was like, go sow your old wild oats. And then there's another.
Don't go sow no
there
oats.
There was a time frame for that. And then there was a time frame for, listen, don't get nobody knocked up.
If you're going to sow some oats, your oats better be covered with a hoe. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the safe way to say that is. But it needs to be protected, sowing oats. What? Don't go no sow no oats. Then you got 25 baby mamas out there. Who paying for 25 baby mamas? I'm not. And I don't want 25 grandkids. I only...
Don't choke.
I only got two arms.
I was about to tell you to wheel your arms out. Shake it up.
Oh my God, let me drink my drink. My lemonade. Sippity sip. Arnold Palmer. My Uptown.
If you haven't watched this show before, let me just remind you. You think that's just regular, schmegler, degler?
Uptown? Yeah, girl.
This is where I go in the edit, and I'm going to zoom in. Okay.
That face could be a meme.
Oh, gosh.
I think I should make it into a meme.
You gonna do it?
Yeah, I got permission?
Yeah.
All right, beautiful. Thank you. We about to have a whole meme. I'm here for it. Can y'all help me make it go viral?
You can make it a sticker, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can y'all help me make it go viral? Okay, thank you.
I think...
Tell me.
That this young lady... Hold on, let me go to her name again because I don't want to mispronounce it.
Chen Bengal.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Chen Bengal. Makes some very valid points. So again... I don't believe that is every single man you come across, that is every female you come across. But sadly, more often than not, this is currently the state of this generation. When I say generation, I want to say it's mid-Z to mid to the to latter millennial. Because these women are, they're doing their thing. They're building their empire, whatever that empire is for themselves. And you have these men who either are intimidated to keep up, or there's this expectation of, well, if you don't want to do it for me, I know my mom will always will. And the sadly, the moms are there to cater to that mindset. So it's harder for you to find a partner that you want to grow old with or build a relationship with or build a family with. And it's not by a matter of there's not enough choices out there, but like, who's settling? Who wants to settle? Would you? Because I sure as I won't.
I know people who have settled.
I don't know. I'll say it again. And my husband and I, when we talk, I say to him, listen, not for nothing, if anything were to happen, I'd be happy by myself.
I'm not dating again.
I would be, trust and believe, I'd be so happy by myself. And then I have people who question me, well, what about your sex drive?
I'll figure it out.
Exactly. Because if I have to put up with having to manage another person or be a parent to another person,
no.
I pass.
No.
I absolutely pass. No. I already have two to take care of alone.
I don't have none, and I still say no. The stories that I've heard from my friends, so I have a beautiful soul person, right? She's beautiful inside and out. Mm-hmm. She went on a date, had a great time. She came back and was smiling, was like, oh my God, we're going to go on date number two. I'm so excited. We really connected. We had a lot of things in common, right?
Don't tell me he goes to her.
Went on date number two. We had such a nice time. Yes, we really connected. We have a lot of matching things, this, that, and the third. It was amazing. And the next thing I know, he responds to her and said, you know, I don't really think that we have anything in common and we should stop talking.
Wait, well, why?
That was it. That was the explanation. After they were literally the night before giggling, laughing, having a great time, nothing seemed odd.
Intimidation.
Fucking bullshit.
They are afraid of a strong. Was it Neil? Miss Independent?
Miss Independent. Yes. That's all I know if I remember.
Yeah, yeah. They're afraid.
But he loves an independent woman.
Yeah, so much so that he cheats on them.
He has an open relationship, supposedly.
Now.
Oh, okay. Anyway. My bad.
That's what happens when you have boys who want to be men, but they're not.
That's what happens when you have boys who want to be men. They cheat because they're actually not men?
No, I'm not referring to Neil. I'm referring to the situation.
Oh, they run away, couldn't hide because they're...
Yeah. Ooh. Got a little beat there.
Because they're pussies.
Correct. Because guess what? They're still wet behind the ear. They're still drinking that Similac because they're attached to their mommy's titty.
She said what she said when she said it.
Period.
You can't do all of that. It's just the
one. Okay, my nails can't do it, okay?
Oh, I can't do it. You're doing it, though.
What say you? Do you think we're crazy for agreeing with this young lady? Do you have something to counter? Let's play. I want to see who's going to play devil's advocate. Leave something in the comments for us. Like,
tell me the other side of the story.
Yeah. Are these men really out here acting crazy, or are we just making this up? Because we're off the market, so maybe we're just seeing it from a completely different perspective.
Let me know. I am curious. My eyes are yellow. I'm sorry.
Aw, you okay?
Mm-hmm. Let me know. I'm definitely off market. I definitely don't know what's happening in the real world.
But I know one thing. I ain't holding no goddamn umbrella. Not unless you're fixing your shoelace. and you need me to do that, or you grabbing your keys out your wallet and your hands are tied, and then I'm giving the umbrella back to you.
I'm not holding the umbrella for nothing. We can find an awning for you to fix your shoe.
Okay. See, two different types of women just there.
First off, to be fair, I'm too fucking short. I'm not holding the fucking umbrella for that umbrella to go into your eye. But mostly, I'm not holding the umbrella because you're taller than me and you should be putting the shelter over me. What am I doing here? Nothing but protecting myself.
And?
That's it. That's what I'm saying. So what if you're protecting yourself? Take it a little with it, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it, y'all. Welcome to Season 3 of Wine and Whispers.
See you next time.
Bye, Wispies.
Hey, Wispies. Thank you for joining us for another hard-hitting girl talk. If you have a topic or question for us, send us a whisper at info@wineandwhispersclub.com. That's whispers with an S. See you next time, Wispies.